I don't want to use Facebook as a benchmark for anything, but I don't know if you've noticed the way in which some stories clearly capture people's imagination more than others. They get kind of bubble up to the surface of your feed again and again. And one of the things that gets shared almost as much as pictures of grumpy cats on my Facebook feed is that house that was built out of an old shipping container. That seems to resonate with people for some reason. Around the world, shipping containers are being given a second life, providing the structural bones for low-cost housing. The trend's taken off here in Australia, especially over the past few years. But are they actually as cost-effective as they seem? With me are two men who probably know more about the ins and outs of designing with shipping containers than they ever would have imagined. Jeffrey Fulton is an architect who's been using shipping containers in his designs for many years now. And also with me is James Harris. James is an owner-builder who's almost finished his first house built entirely of containers. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Michael.
James, I might start with you, given that it's very fresh in your mind. You've just finished this house. It's a 5-bedroom house, and it's made out of shipping containers. For our listeners who won't have seen a picture, describe how the design works.
Okay, so I've used 8 40-foot high cube containers. So there's 3 containers on the bottom, and then there's 5 containers on the top level, and they're all orientated in the same way. The upstairs I've cladded in a cement sheet, and then downstairs I've painted the containers, retaining the natural industrial beauty of the containers.
So, Jeffrey, you've been using them in your work for a few years now. So tell me, how popular are they at the moment? Is this very on trend?
It's growing rapidly. I suppose I get about three inquiries a day.
So talk us through the benefits of using containers. Let's go to the why. Before we drill down again on the how and what the pitfalls might be, what's the motivation behind it?
I think the most important thing is that it makes it easier for owner-builders to build a house because the containers create the structure. And once the structure's been provided and delivered to site, an owner-builder can start working and work at their own pace and do everything except the electrical and plumbing. Whereas with conventional constructions, it's that much more difficult for them to gain the knowledge to build the structure.
So I'm just struggling from a conceptual perspective about how it fits together. These are boxy things. So obviously one of your first steps is going to be to cut windows into it, cut shapes out of it. James, tell me about that process. Tell me about what the limitations are from having building blocks that are so kind of fixed in form.
So one of the easiest parts of the build was actually getting the containers to the site. Welding them together wasn't too much of an issue. Then you've got this super strong structure that you can build with, but some of the things that take a bit more work are the cladding, so battening out the walls and also battening out the floors. They require a lot more labour than you would in a normal house. But if you're prepared to do a lot of the work yourself, you can actually save a bit of money.
So once you stack them, I mean, there is that question about structural strength is the argument for this thing. These things are incredibly strong. But once you cut a hole out of the side of it, that must be pretty severely compromised, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's true. In their natural form, they're designed to carry about 28 ton, so they're inherently a very strong structure to start building with. And as you say, as soon as you start cutting out, you need to think about things like columns and beams. So when we designed the house, we had a structural engineer sign off on the structure, so he then specified where to put certain columns and beams. So then we had a very sound platform from which to do all the other internal framing and the conventional fit out after that.
So, Jeffrey, when this happens, when you see people using these, I mean, clearly one of the benefits has to be using something that would otherwise go to waste, would otherwise be decommissioned. Is that the way people use it, or do they tend to veer towards the newer shipping containers anyway out of some kind of sense of security?
They tend to veer towards the newer containers, although today containers are built out of Corten steel, which is a steel that once the surface rusts, that stops further rusting, so their lifespan is many, many, many years.
So is rust a concern? I mean, for those older ones, is it something that comes up if people are using older containers for this?
Only if they're so old that they're built out of conventional steel, and then there's the risk of holes having developed and having to be repaired before they start work on them.
This is, as I said, a very blocky form. How do you get to play with it? How do you not feel too constrained by the kind of design options available to you with building blocks like this?
Well, this is like playing with Lego, and you have the ability to place the blocks in a way that you can't with conventional construction without a great deal of expense. You can cantilever containers at least half their length. That would be very expensive to do if you use conventional construction.
I'm interested in that cantilevering idea, James. I know for you, as you said, yours were basically stacked on top of each other in the same kind of form,
yes,
with
right.
sides cut out. Would you do that differently if you had your time again?
I think knowing what I know now, for future projects, I'd love to really maximise that structure and get some beautiful cantilevers. However, for a first project, I wanted to keep the project fairly conventional to really understand how to build with containers. So some of the things I've learnt from this project, I'd really like to take forward into future projects.
I was going to say, I just said if you had your time again, but presumably is this a method you're going to pursue in future projects?
I think so, yes. There's just learnt so much about building this particular house. I'd really like to push forward and make improvements in the future. And there's just been so much interest, people driving past and emails of owner builders in particular that want to build their own container house.
I'm curious because one of the motivations for this is the idea that is you talked about the kind of convenience of getting containers onto a site.
Yes.
That being a kind of less complicated part. But the other one, presumably, is about cost effectiveness. Has your project been as cost effective as you hoped?
It has gone a little bit over. And the thing that's really made it cost a bit more is the extra labour. So things like, as I mentioned earlier, all the battening out the exterior walls and all the cladding is something that I really, really didn't estimate. However, in the end, it's a five-bedroom house with three bathrooms, two kitchens, three decks and a 10-by-6-metre garage. And the budget, it's coming close to about $350,000. So if you were to build that, getting a builder to build that, it would cost more like $450,000 to $500,000.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Do you mind me asking what the estimate was originally?
The estimate was $310,000, and okay. And that includes everything. So that's all permits, engineering, and a lot of tools as well.
Honestly, that's not too much of a blowout. You've got to be
It's not too bad.
That's and so how much did each individual container cost?
So each container delivered, and including GST, was $3,000. So with the eight of them, $24,000. And then the crane for the day was $5,000. So it still does all add up, but you do have a very sound structure from which you can build a house from.
So, Jeffrey, do you find them cost-effective? Is that one of the reasons you return to them again and again? Does that bear up?
Yes, it is, Michael. But there's the advantage of getting them to site quickly, getting them to sites which are difficult for conventional construction. We don't use concrete footings.
I was interested in that. I mean, how does the base work? You don't have to put down concrete footings for
it? No, we don't have any concrete footings. We actually use a patented steel footing, which is a bit like an oil rig in the ocean. A plate is put on the ground, and that's got tubes through it, and with a handheld jackhammer, you just drive 2-inch pipes down through the tubes into the ground.
Historically, Jeffrey, this isn't necessarily a new concept. I mean, architects have been playing with the idea of using containers for housing for decades. What have been the pitfalls in those early learnings about this?
I don't think there were too many pitfalls at all. I think it was a case of not being considered as realistic or comfortable. And today we can design a container house that's as comfortable, if not more comfortable, than a conventional house. We don't have problems with heating them or cooling them.
Or ventilation.
That's right. One of the benefits is that we don't have problems of leaking air, and we don't have problems of termites. We have less fire risk.
I think just airdropping one of these into my backyard might be a kind of neat solution for a kind of granny flat option is what I'm thinking.
Exactly what they're for.
Well, I was going to say, are there designs that it doesn't work for, that it's not suited to?
I can't think of one. We're actually designing a cruise boat for the Murray River out of containers.
Jeffrey, you're scaring me, the idea of putting one of these on water, but I love that idea. So, James, what do you know now about building with containers that you wish you'd known before you started?
There's a number of different things. There are some restrictions. For example, the ceiling height, once you bring the floor up and the ceiling down, you only get a conventional ceiling height, which is fine in most applications. All the fixing mechanisms, working out how to connect all the timber and the decks, there's a lot of things you need to work out and think about that's a bit different.
Look, what impresses me talking to you both is if you're going to be a builder or an architect, any version of that that can get as close to playing with Lego as possible has to be a good thing. And this seems to me to be both a fascinating kind of sustainability option, but also, as you say, a more efficient way of doing things, and I'm fascinated. We are going to put some pictures of some examples of these homes up on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website, and we encourage you to go and have a look. I've been speaking with Jeffrey Fulton and James Harris. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
My pleasure, Michael.
Thanks for your time.
Jeffrey's an architect from Fulton Sullivan, and James Harris is an owner-builder. Those photos, as I say, including James's house, which is just about finished, are up on our website. So Google Blueprint for Living, and those will pop up.